Good morning, Bridge. All right. There we go. Okay. Am I in the right spot? All right. Well, our best laid plans. So, what I would like to do is, if you have a Bible, to open up to Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. And if you don't, I would encourage you to open up your Bible apps on your phones. Bible Gateway or YouVersion are the ones that I use, to Isaiah chapter 7. And as you're turning there, I'd like to give you just a little bit of background on this text so that we are prepared to understand it. So, beginning with some locations, the text talks about Ahaz, the king of Judah. So Judah is the southern nation of God's people 700 years before the time of Christ. And the capital is Jerusalem. Ahaz is the king. The northern nation of God's people is the kingdom of Israel. They are enemies of the southern nation. And the northern nation of Israel, it's also in this lesson called Samaria after its capital, or Ephraim after its largest and most powerful tribe. Then farther to the northeast then is the kingdom of Aram, and its capital is Damascus, its king is Rezin, and then far to the northeast is the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire in the 700s BC was the world power of the day, incredibly vicious, you know, state-sponsored terrorism to the max. And we'll talk about Assyria a little bit later on in the message. And the key thing at the point, at the beginning of the message, is Aram and Israel are allied to attack Jerusalem. So those are the locations. And then the cast of characters: Ahaz is the most wicked king of Judah up to this point. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, is the king of Israel. He's already defeated Israel, Ahaz once. Rezin is the king of Aram. And later on in the message, I'm going to talk about Ahaz, Hezekiah, Ahaz's godly son. But the most important location that I want to mention is the laundromat. Let's read this phrase together. The end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. And we don't really know where that was, but it is the place where King Ahaz was called to account for his dirty laundry, and where Hezekiah, a generation later, was called to account for his dirty laundry. And today it's the place where I want us to deal with our own dirty laundry. So let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overcome it. Now, I should just explain, it's good Hebrew writing style to tell you how the story ends. Ultimately, they would not overcome Jerusalem, but as we read on, it's important for you to remember, Ahaz doesn't know that's how the story is going to end. So he's filled with fear. Verse 2. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so that the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and do not be afraid. Do not lose heart because of those two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart, and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it. So these two northern nations wanted to attack and set up a puppet government in Judah. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place, it will not happen, for the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. And then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of man? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. The key phrase that I mentioned was to go out to the ancient laundromat. The end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the way to the launderer's field. This is a phrase that occurs twice in the Bible, once in connection with Ahaz and once a generation later in connection with Hezekiah. So Ahaz is going out to inspect his defenses. This is probably one of the weakest spots in the defense of Jerusalem. And it's at that point that God confronts Ahaz with his dirty laundry. Now, his dirty laundry is described pretty well in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. There we read, unlike David his father, Ahaz did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and also made idols for the worshiping of Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and sacrificed his children in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. Why was it that Aram and Israel were allied against King Ahaz? Because of all this dirty laundry. Because of his guilt before God, God was calling him to repentance, with these two powerful kings threatening his existence. He had real guilt to confess before God. Now, I mentioned that a generation later, Ahaz's son, King Hezekiah, goes out to the same place, the ancient laundromat where they did the wash. And he too is called to account. This time, rather than Pekah and Rezin allied against him, this time it's the king of Assyria who sent an army to threaten Jerusalem. Hezekiah is in a whole lot more trouble, and there at the laundromat of the Old Testament, Hezekiah is also confronted with his guilt, with his own dirty laundry. This is what the king of Assyria wrote to Hezekiah. If you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God. Isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar? The backstory is Hezekiah was a godly king. The Bible describes him as one of the most godly of all the kings of Judah. But here is the king of Assyria coming and accusing him. He's accusing him because Hezekiah, in part of his faithfulness to God's word, had destroyed all of these high places that the people had set up to worship the false gods and to mingle the worship of the false gods with the worship of the Lord. God had said, worship the Lord at the temple only. That's where you were supposed to bring your sacrifices. So Hezekiah is being faithful to God in destroying all of these high places. But here's the king of Assyria coming and accusing him before all the crowds of guilt before God. You know, I'm here threatening your existence because you are guilty. You have this dirty laundry. You destroyed all of these high places, and God's angry with you. Now, the reason why I wanted to talk both about Ahaz's guilt and Hezekiah's guilt is it's important for both for us to deal with both of those kinds of guilt. We have real guilt, just like Ahaz did. In the psalm that we sang in the other services today, Psalm 24, the question is asked, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. The one who has clean hands. If you've never done anything wrong with your hands are absolutely clean and spotless from any sin, you have a right to stand in God's presence. If you have a heart that is absolutely pure, that has never thought of angry thoughts, never thought of immoral, impure sexual desires, if you have a pure heart, you have the right to stand before the Lord. The trouble is, you and I have a problem. You know, even as we decorate the Christmas tree, I have a special decoration right here just to kind of remind us that every one of us has a problem. That's our own dirty laundry. We have real guilt. None of us have kept our hands clean. None of us have a pure heart. We deserve to be called out before the laundromat, and be accused and condemned before God. Real guilt. We got dirty laundry. That's Ahaz's kind of guilt. Hezekiah had what I would call fake guilt. Somebody else was accusing him of sin. Even though he had done nothing wrong, he was being accused. Many of you truly understand what this fake guilt is because things have happened to you. People have done things to you that make you feel dirty and ashamed. And your friends tell you you've done nothing wrong. You know, you were the victim, you shouldn't feel dirty, and yet, in spite of all their nice words, you feel dirty before God. That's what I call fake guilt, that we feel guilty about things that we really shouldn't feel guilty about. So how do you deal with your dirty laundry? Because we all have it. Every one of us has dirty laundry hanging on our Christmas trees. What do you do? Well, let's go on out to the ancient laundromat, to the end of the aqueduct, of the upper pool, on the way to the washerman's field, and see that there are two ways, two models to deal with our dirty laundry. First of all, there is the Ahaz model. The Ahaz model is what we read in our lesson for today. Ahaz was trembling in fear. He saw the consequences of his dirty laundry. I am facing destruction because of my dirty laundry, and he was trembling with fear. That's great. You should. But then what does he do? It's not clear in our text because you have to go on and read just a little bit farther, but God had said to Ahaz, stand firm in your faith, trust me. But what he does instead is says, you know what? This dirty laundry, I can wash it myself. I can take care of it. What Ahaz does is he calls on Assyria, that horrible world power way to the northeast, to come and attack his enemies and rescue him from his enemies. course, Assyria isn't going to stop at the destruction of Samaria and Aram. It also will threaten, a generation later, threaten the very existence of Judah under King Hezekiah's time. So he says, I can deal with my own guilt. I can clean up my own mess. Another way he deals with it is to cover it up. You know, God says, just ask for a sign. In the deepest depths and the highest heights, I'll give you a sign to show that you can trust me, that I'll clean up your mess, that I can handle your dirty laundry. And God, and what does Ahaz say? He says, nah. You know, I'm a pious guy. I don't need any sign. It sounds so good, doesn't it? I'm not going to put the Lord God to the test. But how does God respond? Will you try the patience of God as well as the patience of humans? God saw through it. Ahaz was trying to cover up his guilt, but God still saw it. That's one model of dealing with your dirty laundry, and it doesn't work. Hezekiah offers us a different model. We see that model in Isaiah chapter 37. In Isaiah chapter 37, Hezekiah is facing his own destruction, this time with the Assyrians. Hezekiah is in more trouble than Ahaz ever was. And what does Hezekiah do? He trembles in fear too. But what he does is he tears his clothes. In the Old Testament, tearing your clothes was a sign of repentance. He's not only just filled with fear, he is sorry for what he's done. He recognizes, I've sinned against God. I have no solution. And then it says, he takes his dirty laundry and he spreads it out before the Lord. He received a letter from the king of Assyria. And rather than trying to cover it up, he just spreads it out before the Lord. And he admits, I can't handle that dirty laundry on my own. And then he does something just incredible. He spreads it out before the Lord. And then he prays for God to be glorified. This is how he ends the prayer. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from the king of Assyria's hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God. God, I can't deal with this dirty laundry. I can't deal with the consequences of my guilt, real or imagined. Save me from the consequences of my guilt, but Lord, not for my glory, but for your glory. It's not about me, Lord. It's really all about you. Which model will we choose? Let me just give you an example of this whole idea of real guilt and fake guilt. I'll give you my own example. I live through this almost on a nightly basis. I wake up in the middle of the night, start to think of the things that I could have done and should have done, that things that I did wrong, ways that I hurt people around me that I love and care about. Real guilt. Especially at this time of year, I also have lots of fake guilt. You know, at this time of year, we as pastors just go, we should contact every person that we know and give them a personal invitation to come and worship Jesus, right? Because this is the time that they're most likely going to come. And so it's on my conscience. There are all kinds of people. I should be texting all night long to invite people to come to our Christmas services. I call it fake guilt because God's never asked me to do all the work that we all are given to do, right? So what do I do with the real guilt and the fake guilt? Oh, the best way? Get up early, get up in the middle of the night, and say, I'll take care of this, Lord. You don't have to worry about a thing. I can take care of this dirty laundry. I'll just work harder and get more stuff done and fall farther behind. Or I can spread it out before the Lord. In repentance, admit, I can't clean up this mess. The real guilt that I have, the false guilt that Satan is throwing on me, I can't clean it up. And I depend on you to clean me. And if it's your will that I just fall on my face and am embarrassed in front of other people because they see my dirty laundry, that's okay, Lord, because really all that matters is that you're glorified, not me. Let you become all and me become nothing. But how do you know that God could clean up your mess? This is the second reason why I wanted to combine Ahaz and Hezekiah. The story begins in the same place. You can probably recite it with me. At the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the way to the washerman's field or the launderer's field. So you go out to the laundromat to deal with your dirty laundry, but both stories end with an invitation to go out to the laundromat and see the zeal of the Lord. Both stories end with this sentence: the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Remember who Ahaz was. He was the most despicable king. He didn't believe. He shut the temple doors. He didn't want to worship God. He wanted to worship gods of his own making. But God gives to this wicked king the best promise of the whole Old Testament. That a virgin will be with child, that an impossible thing is going to happen, and the child that is born of this impossible birth is going to be God himself, God with us, Emmanuel. We look at our dirty laundry and we go, part of the dirty laundry are the doubts and questions and fears that I have. Maybe I just don't believe strongly enough. The great news is you go out to the laundromat and you see God doesn't give this marvelous promise to a super strong faith guy. He gives this promise to somebody who doesn't believe at all. Cleansing your dirty laundry doesn't depend on the strength of your faith. It depends on the strength of the Lord's zeal. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then you go out and see that there's more about that zeal of the Lord Almighty. The zeal of the Lord Almighty is in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, where this whole prophecy to Ahaz really comes to an end. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will do this. And then a generation later, as Hezekiah spreads out his problem before the Lord, his dirty laundry, and what does God do? God promises, I'm going to give you deliverance. And then the very last sentence is, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then four verses later, we're told 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died in one night. This huge army that Hezekiah was terrified of, God takes care of it. When you're lying in the middle of the night thinking about your dirty laundry and you just think of all the things that you've done wrong, all the things you should do, you could do, all the guilt, and you go, man, it is way too much for anybody to handle, then go back and remember that when Hezekiah spread out his dirty laundry to the Lord, God said, the zeal of the Lord Almighty is going to accomplish this. I'll take care of it. The laundromat is a place to see that we're cleansed. fact, I appreciate that Isaiah closes or begins his prophecy with a cleansing promise. Let's read this together. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Let's go on out to the laundromat. Let's not be afraid to be confronted by our God with our guilt, with our dirty laundry. We don't have to be afraid of it. We can spread it out before the Lord. Because all the doubts and fears that we have, He's not overwhelmed by that. Your salvation isn't dependent on how strong you believe. When you're just overwhelmed with a sense of guilt, spread it out before the Lord. He is not going to be overwhelmed by the number of your sins. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is what gave Hezekiah victory. This is what gives you and I victory. Because the zeal of the Lord Almighty did something impossible. The zeal of the Lord Almighty caused a virgin to have a child. The zeal of the Lord Almighty caused that child to be God in flesh. The zeal of the Lord Almighty caused that child to be willing to die for every one of us. Dirty laundry, it's not going to ruin our Christmas. Because you and I know the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us that faith to trust your zeal. If we don't stand by faith, God said to Ahaz, then we won't stand at all. And we just admit, Lord, we're so much like Ahaz, but just give us just that little flicker of faith to hold on to that promise of your zeal. Then, Lord, work powerfully in us that people see that you make a difference in our lives, that we're not afraid of our dirty laundry, that we can humbly admit it, and that they can admit it too, and they can find salvation in Emmanuel, God with us. Work that miracle, because the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.